Good morning and welcome everyone to the Secrets to Attract Your Dream Partner monthly teleseminar series. As you already know, I'm Carol Anderson, and today's call is entitled The Stages of Relationship Commitment, or the Role of Commitment in Relationship. As always, I'm just really honored to have you as my guests this morning. I'm always honored to have to see your names on my dashboard and see who's here. I think it's just really important to acknowledge you for being here, because the fact that you are here means you are probably wanting to learn how to be in a deep, meaningful, and lasting relationship. And even though I'm sure you have lots to do for this next hour on Saturday morning, which might have even included sleeping in for a change, I know I kind of didn't want to get out of bed this morning. The fact that you actually got out of bed and you came tells me that you are hopefully here because you realize that this information I'm sharing with you each month is important. And I hope you've been attending. I see names that I see mostly every month. And I hope if you've not been able to attend that you've been able to listen to the recordings. And I have quite a few recordings there for you. So that's a great resource for you. So, you know, most singles perceive the quest for a relationship as merely finding the right partner. They feel that if they find the right partner, they will live happily ever after and everything will be easy. And so they spend a lot of time simply seeking that special someone by going to dances, by going to singles events, and just trying to meet a lot of singles of the gender that they want to have a relationship with. But my intention is to help you become the right partner. I think many of you have heard me speak before. Most of you have heard me speak before know that that is my agenda. And the fact that you will then attract your dream partner and be able to have your dream relationship. So I acknowledge you for being here today. For those of you who may be on the call for the first time, I see a couple of new names. I've been a licensed marriage and family therapist, and I specialize in relationships. I've been that for over 20 years, and in fact, I've taken the equivalent of a second master's degree in relationship therapy, both couples and singles, and I'm really known in my community of Fresno as the go-to therapist for relationship issues. Many therapists do refer couples to me or singles that want to work on relationships. And I present, as part of this, I present workshops. I'm certified to present a workshop for singles called Keeping the Love You Find, and a weekend workshop for couples. Both are weekend workshops called Getting the Love You Want. And that's to help singles and couples find, create, and keep the relationship of their dreams. And I'm in the process, actually, of retiring my therapy practice so that I can help more people through relationship coaching to help them actually avoid the stigma of diagnosis of a mental illness, which is required for therapy. Many people don't realize that. So when you go to therapy, if you use insurance, you are required to diagnose your patient as a mentally ill person in some way. And so I really believe I can help more people through the practice of coaching without that stigma. Okay, so let me ask a couple of questions to introduce our topic. So what exactly do you believe is commitment in a relationship? What actually makes a committed relationship? And how can one person be committed when the other possibly is not? And how do you know if you're actually in a committed relationship or not? So in our society, people fall in love within a very short period of time. They feel they are committed. And unfortunately, this seldom lasts. This relationship seldom lasts when you do that, and that pattern exists for you or for your relationships. And so as a result, we have a divorce rate nationwide of 50%. And for those of you who live in California, it's 67%. And we also live in a time when the marriage rate is going down in general. The cohabitation rate is going up. And the majority of firstborn children are now born to unmarried parents. Now, there are a lot of reasons for this, but the question of when a relationship is actually committed is so often such a source of confusion for couples that I believe it contributes a great deal to relationships actually breaking up. So on this call today, I hope to shed some light on this challenge and help you as a single gain clarity on the subject of commitment so your relationship won't be challenged by the different perceptions of its status. So because of this, today we will be covering how you sabotage your relationship when you fall in love and make a premature commitment, what the two different types of dating are, and why knowing the difference between those two is vital to your relationship success, what mindset you absolutely need to change to avoid something called serial monogamy, where you go from one monogamous relationship to the next but never really find a lasting relationship. Fourth, why engagement is not supposed to be commitment, even though you think it is. And how most people think they're committed when they really aren't. And of course, as always, much more. So the first thing you need to know is that all relationships go through stages, but even commitment itself has distinct stages, and each must be traversed and have a successful conclusion prior to entering the next stage. We'll start with the obvious first stage, dating. Now, most singles perceive dating as just dating, but there are actually two types of dating, each having its own goal. And it's very important that you intentionally involve yourself in both types and know the difference for your relationship to be a success. The first type of dating is called recreational, and its goal is simply to have fun, make no commitments, and not be exclusive. You're not shopping for a partner if you're recreationally dating. So it's important not to confuse that with the second type of dating, which has its own goal as finding a life partner. In the second dating type, you are actually available to many potential partners, but do not have an exclusive mindset. You are sorting and screening whether the person you're dating actually looks like they might meet your relationship requirements that you have identified in a workshop called the Relationship Success Training Course. It's an 8-week workshop that I and a number of other coaches are certified to present. You're not invested in making this relationship work because you still have an open mind about the potential of it not working. You also have the mindset of possibly meeting someone else who has more potential as a life partner. And in fact, if you begin to have problems, serious problems in this stage of the relationship, in this dating stage, you will probably want to just end it at that point and move on. When you're dating someone and you have an exclusive mindset, even when you know that this is not a potential life partner, it defeats your goal. If you're having problems with somebody at this stage, then that defeats your goal also. When you stay in a relationship that's not likely going to result in a committed relationship, the reason that it is not helpful to you is that you're not available to another potential partner. And even though you may be having fun most of the time, and this is a great companion, and even perhaps you're having great sex, if that person does not meet at least the relationship requirements you've identified at this point, your relationship will never be a success. So the second stage of relationship, once you've met somebody who seems to have some potential and they seem to meet at least a few of your requirements, the next stage is pre-commitment. And it is an important step in the process of being committed in a relationship. You still do not have the exclusive mindset, even if you're only dating one person. So you can date one person, but not have the mindset that you are exclusive yet. I know this is very challenging for most people. I think especially women have a hard time with this. Women like to just be exclusive one person at a time. So it's really challenging to do this for a woman. But having an exclusive mindset in this stage leads to serial monogamy and many, M-I-N-I, as well as maybe many, M-A-N-Y, but primarily many marriages, M-I-N-I, small, little, tiny, pretend marriages and divorces. In pre-commitment, one or both are asking, is this the right relationship for me? Is this the one with whom I want to spend the rest of my life? And does this partner and does this relationship meet all of my relationship requirements? Now, a few of the activities you engage in during this stage are things like spending a lot of time together, gaining a solid base of knowledge about the person, meaning you're collecting more information about their family, their background, their childhood, their relationships, their other relationships previous to you, why they ended. You're wanting to get to know their friends, their interests, their values, how they communicate, how they deal with challenges. Are they dependable and reliable? Are they committed to personal growth? And how they react and express anger or frustration and other emotional challenges in the relationship. How do they deal with differences between you? So you're really taking your time and testing to find out if this person actually meets all of your requirements. You may not realize that if you miss even one requirement, if you miss testing for one requirement and find that it is not met, just that one you miss can cause your relationship to either end or be miserable. And that's the definition of a requirement. It's really a deal breaker. If everything else in your relationship is perfect, but that one requirement, out of usually about a dozen for most people, is not met, the relationship just won't work for you. By the way, I might mention that if you are having sex during either the dating or pre-commitment stage, it makes it very difficult to be objective about whether this person is really someone you want as a life partner. The reason for that is that during sex or even just intense physical activity, your brain produces powerful chemicals. It's actually released primarily during orgasm, but it produces powerful chemicals and hormones that cause you to bond. Now, bonding means that you can only see what you love about this person and how you have so much in common. You just want to be together all the time, and you really see yourselves as a perfect match for each other. But what you don't know at this point is that they could be a sociopath, and you'll miss all the red flags. Hopefully that won't happen to you, but there are a lot of things in between that will really cause your relationship. They could be a very good person, but if you have different values or different goals in life, your relationship requirements will not be met. And like I said, your relationship will either end up ending or being miserable. Now, the third stage of relationship is premarital. This is the stage that prepares you to enter into commitment. It even includes engagement. It is an exclusive mindset, but it's still questioning whether or not you're doing the right thing. Now, a lot of people, when they get engaged, it's a done deal. It's almost like they already are married, especially when they begin preparing for the wedding. But the premarital stage is similar to pre-commitment. It's just more invested in the relationship. Now, the activities that are engaged in this stage include identifying the issues and unmet needs that you will likely develop in this relationship, and then developing an action plan to address those issues and areas of conflict to determine if you can work together to resolve your conflict and meet each other's needs. It's also a time to learn healthy communication skills, relationship skills, and continue to test whether or not you meet all of each other's needs in the long haul. So you must keep in mind that you still may have made a wrong choice, even when you are engaged. Don't allow the wedding deadline and wedding plans to prevent you from backing up and making a wise decision. As painful as it may be to cancel or postpone a wedding, it is not as painful or as costly as divorcing, especially after you have had children. Now, the fourth stage of commitment is real commitment, and it involves an explicit public event in which you both participate. You can both clearly state when, where, and how that commitment was made. Once commitment has been made, all exits are closed, and with few exceptions, there is no out and no open door. I believe that every person needs to identify what the deal breakers might be. Sometimes people completely drastically change, and what you learned about them before you were married is not at all true, and you find that they don't meet very many of your relationship requirements. And it's better to find that out early in a relationship before you have children. I always encourage people to try counseling or coaching, but if you see that this is not going to work, primarily if one of you is not able or willing to work on the relationship, then it just really won't work. So one person can start the relationship work, but it takes two committed people to keep it going and to really make lasting change. So I want to talk about the difference between commitment and promise. I often have conversations with singles who tell me they're breaking up from a committed relationship. I then learn that they've been dating each other for only a year or two, and they were not living together, and the reason they broke up is that their partner cheated on them. Well, most of these relationships were actually pre-committed as opposed to committed, but one or both partners didn't know the difference. The general consensus of opinion most people have is that when you make a promise, you are making a commitment. But there's a distinction, a clear distinction between a commitment and a promise. So here's my definition. A promise is a verbally stated future intention to perform a specific act. So for example, I promise to pick up your dry cleaning and not forget this time. I promise to be exclusive in our relationship. I promise to call you tomorrow night. A promise, then, is a fact. It's really a small commitment. If a potential partner does not keep their promises, I would question their ability to keep commitments, as they are definitely related. Now, commitment, on the other hand, is both a fact demonstrated by a number and a variety of behaviors and an attitude consisting of a number of various thoughts and beliefs. For example, I am committed to keeping all my promises I make to you, and I am committed to our relationship. In short, a promise is something you say, and a commitment is something you do. A promise is situation-specific, whereas a commitment is within a larger context and impacts a variety of situations. For example, marriage itself, the ceremony and saying I do, is one rather superficial commitment in the overall scheme of things. But a commitment to remain married and work things out to the best of your ability is much more involved and more challenging. When you're married or in a committed relationship, it is clear that your relationship is committed. Your commitment is a legal contract in most cases and a publicly witnessed fact. However, it is common for couples in trouble that one or both partners may not have a committed attitude. They can have a committed relationship, in fact, but not in attitude. A commitment is explicit and unambiguous. A commitment is a formal event of some kind between two people, and it's usually a public event with witnesses. A commitment is something you do over time, and you continue to do over time, and a real commitment is usually legally enforceable, and there are serious consequences for breaking it. And for a relationship to be truly committed, there are no exits, either mentally, emotionally, or physically. When the going gets rough, you make it work. Now, there's also a continuum of commitment. It's not like a light switch that goes up or down for off from off to on. It's building a relationship with someone, and the level of commitment gradually increases. Then when you have all the shades of gray, like living together, dating exclusively for more than a year, even engaged to be married, these look like a commitment, but are they really? So let's go back to that fact versus attitude. Commitment in a relationship is complicated in that it takes two people and it requires an alignment of fact, which is your events and actions that you can observe, and attitude, which are your thoughts and beliefs that you cannot, and for both of them. It is actually quite common to be committed in fact, for example, married, but not in attitude. For example, I'm really not sure if I've made the right decision. Was this marriage a mistake? It is also common to be pre-committed, in fact, dating exclusively, and committed in attitude. This is the one. In my work with couples, I've found that the most important variable determining their future success is their level of commitment to the relationship. In my experience, when couples are committed in fact but not in attitude, their prognosis for success is poor. Then there are the pre-committed couples that generally fall into two categories. They're either unconscious or consciously pre-committed. Now, typically, the unconscious pre-committed couple follow the mini-marriage model of trying the relationship out, maybe living together. It's usually the most common example. And they're acting committed without actually making a commitment. There's a disconnect here of fact and attitude. They may be exclusive, but they're not making a full-on, formal, explicit, public commitment. And then the conscious, pre-committed relationship, which is what I hope you will do, and that is being aware you're not yet committed, and usually having that as a goal, commitment, and asking yourself, is this the right relationship for me? Should I make a commitment with this person into this relationship? So you have both an alignment of fact and attitude when you do make that commitment. So when is a relationship committed? I propose three specific criteria. Criterion number one is that you make promises to each other about the permanent nature and the exclusivity of this relationship. And these promises are kept. Number two, an explicit, formal, and preferably public declaration occurs, and it is unambiguous to both partners and to people in their community. Finally, third, each partner also has a commitment to both personal and relational growth. And I've talked in previous calls about how important this is, that if you're not on that path of personal growth, then you will not attract a person who is also on that path, and you will have many problems that you will not understand how to resolve. And if you don't have relational growth, you will continue to have problems because you won't have skills or the self-discipline or the knowledge about relationships to be able to overcome them and dissolve them. In today's world, if all three of the above are met, I would say it is a committed relationship, whether you're legally married or not, and you will have a greater chance of success. There's always the inevitable things that you don't know about a person until you've been together for a long time and you've really tested the relationship. But again, I really encourage everybody to enter a relationship knowing what all their requirements, needs, and wants are, and you know what your absolute deal breakers after the marriage would have to be. And they're not the same as your requirements. They may include your requirements, but they're not all of your requirements. In summary, it is crucial to remember that a healthy relationship must go through the stages of commitment prior to attempting to make one. These include first deciding what your goal is in dating, whether it's fun and recreational or to find a life partner, and then make sure that you adopt the appropriate mindset for that goal. Second, understanding the pre-commitment stage and avoid an exclusive mindset and start screening for your relationship requirements. Third, understand the premarital stage where you may be exclusive but you're still open to being sure that this is the right or wrong relationship for you and that all your requirements are being met. Finally, commitment, where you have an explicit, formal, and public declaration of your commitment. You close all your exits. You no longer question if you're in the right relationship or not. And you commit to doing everything possible to always work on personal growth and relationship growth. That concludes my discussion, but I want to give you a couple of reminders, and then I'll open up the call for questions, comments, whatever you'd like to say about this. I just want to remind you to watch for your email announcements of my singles programs that I will be scheduling during this month for the year of 2013. They will include the 8-week relationship success training. I presented that last year. And that's where you will identify your ideal life and relationship, including your life purpose, your relationship requirements, needs, and wants, and you'll begin to create an attraction action plan to get those. And then I'll also be scheduling my Keeping the Love You Find Singles workshops, which will help you uncover any unconscious blocks that keep you from a lasting and fulfilling relationship. These are things you have no clue to, and help you understand why you keep finding the same patterns over and over in your relationships. And third, for those of you who have not already taken advantage of my free 45-minute Dream Partner Strategy session, I'd like to invite you to schedule an appointment with me for your private session. It's a 45-minute private session where you will identify your specific challenges in attracting a dream partner, and you'll discover some of the hidden ways that you might be sabotaging yourself. And I'll provide you with some resources that will help you to begin to attract your dream partner. And it will motivate you to begin to take action and begin real change. And finally, some customized tips. These are tips that especially fit you to start your attraction action plan. And so if you want to get started on that right away, you can just go into the website. You can just type in meet me, M-E-E-T-M-E, meet me, one word, dot S as in Sam, O as in Ostrich, / Carol A. Anderson. meetme.so / Carol A. Anderson. And I'll email that link to you with the link to the recording by Monday. Okay, at this point, I am going to open up the call. So if you have a question or you would like to make a comment, just press the number 1 on your keypad. If this is a question about today's talk, that's the best, but you may have a question in general. In fact, I'm thinking about just having an open question and answer format on relationships and singles relationships and couples and everything, just for singles in the future. So raise your hand by pressing the number 1 on your keypad if you have a question. Okay, great. So Janet.
I guess mine isn't so much a question as a thought. I think what my journey has shown me over the past 4 years is underneath all of this is an element of what we all need is emotional maturity.
Yes.
That exactly. When we're stuck at a very early stage, I recognize that now within the marriage I had for 25 years, that what brought us together was the element of, I think, we just had fun together. So we are very much in that childlike stage where we enjoyed playing together. But all these things you spoke of this morning really connected to me about the deal breakers. And as I went through them, look at the family, look at the friends, look at their values. How dependable are they? Are they committed to growth? Well, I didn't even know what growth was.
Yeah.
So I met up with an Imago therapist, you know, nearly 4 years ago. So I didn't know that there was a need for personal or that that was even something that would factor into your life. I thought we would just stay as we were. I had no idea that life would just keep shifting. So personal growth, relationship growth, all of those things. I recognize that now, but I realize I had no understanding that
right.
about these deal breakers. I think I just saw the person, you know, like many people will say who maybe have maturity, that you are in fact marrying the entire family. Everything
yes.
they walk in the door with, you're marrying all of it. And it,
yeah, they're friends
you know,
too.
yes, and I realize how naive it is now.
To
think otherwise. And in fact, my husband made the comment a couple years ago. He said, we just grew up very differently. Now, to me, somewhat I see that as an excuse. I guess because I believe we all can change. We can all choose to stay stuck in our past of what we were raised with, the false ego, which drives us, and we can maybe process it intellectually, but until it's processed emotionally where it gets healed, then we're still in it.
Right, and exactly. Those
so,
are all great.
So this for me is then, how am I going to meet someone
yeah.
who has that level of emotional maturity. Like you, it's quite fascinating, all these stages you've outlined here. And I realized, right, when, you know, you move in together, you figure this is heading somewhere. And then you get engaged, and you never think during that stage that maybe you should be watching out for red flags. Or that there are red flags.
Yeah.
It's just complete lack of understanding. I don't know if in our world, if within our schools, we need to be taught. There should be a course in high school every year about this. Because, yeah, I thought, oh, great, here's somebody who finally I can have fun with. Who wasn't going to put me in a box of expectations, who enjoyed life as fully as I did. However, when you start a family, that's when all the imago pieces come into play, I found.
Exactly.
Looking back, and how we were raised differently, and you know, I was able to carry forth with things, although a lot of it ran from my unconscious. That's what I realized when you speak about the conscious versus the unconscious, that so much of our unconscious being runs the relationship. It runs how we raise our children.
Yes, it
and
does.
And then that's when we run into the wall, that proverbial brick wall with the other person, unconsciously. And then what we start to do are, you know, people start doing what they normally do. They're either very much passive-aggressive, they avoid, they resist, they withdraw from you, they isolate from you.
Exactly.
That's what I ran into, and I've learned a lot about passive.
That's very common. What you're talking about is a lot of the material that I cover in the weekend, the singles weekend. I don't know if you've been to one of those, but the Keeping the Love You Find. And this is where you find how emotionally immature you actually are. And and when you talk about meeting a partner, you will invariably meet somebody who's pretty close to the same emotionally mature or not mature level that you are. And you'll be attracted to people that are at that stage. Because when you start dating somebody, if you're pretty mature, you will not be attracted to somebody who's emotionally mature. As soon as you start seeing it, you will be turned off. But it's when you don't see it, it's because you probably are the same.
I know. And in fact, looking back, when I met him, I remember my mother looking at me saying, oh, good, you finally met your playmate. So I realized all these many decades later, that was it. I didn't want to be with someone who was maybe going to put an expectation. What is it to be female? You'll cook, you'll sew, you'll do all these domestic things. And I think that frightened me.
Yeah. Well, because
I didn't have the emotional maturity.
Yeah,
all
right.
Those things. I was ignorant of all of that. And he didn't have those expectations of, oh, she'll be a Susie homemaker. I knew I could keep playing. But once you become a parent, that became the shift. The shift that takes you into the next zone of either you're going to grow up or you don't even know that that's there. It's just, it's a process of growing up as you have a child.
Yeah.
You actually, I discovered now looking back, by having a child, I grew up with her. I went back to the beginning, I believe, of my own life.
Yeah,
and
that's
I grew
quite
up,
possible.
And now I've made it, you know, to her age of about 24. So now it's like, okay, new kickoff, but with much more wisdom. But I don't know how you, in fact, as a single person, connect with people. I really don't know. I know our imago therapist, there's a possibility perhaps next year of maybe doing a singles cruise in 2014 off the coast of Florida. Right now they're on their couples cruise. And I suggested, why don't we have a singles cruise whereby there's two therapists on board, all good.
Yeah. I'll be game to help you with that.
Yeah, and then we just bring in a flood of people, but one of the conditions, of course, she said, yes, they have to have done some imago therapy or they cannot go on the cruise. And I thought, what a great, you know, that's like a security blanket of understanding.
Yeah,
that the
yeah.
people who walk on board know. And so that's a big step. So, but beyond that, I really don't know how you meet people.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't
know. Well, some people I know do live in a very isolated type of environment. But again, that's what you're talking about, meeting people. How to meet people is what we do cover in the relationship success training. I believe the Imago and the, it's called REST's program, are complementary. They each address things that the other doesn't address. And there is some, a little bit of conflict between the two, but I still believe that the two work very well together. So I'm hoping to do that this spring, that workshop this spring, but I need to get people registered for it in order to have it. So you might think about doing that because I think that's something that you would enjoy. It's every other week and it's a phone call every other week.
I mean, because, you know, I'll think, okay, you know, you try to meet people who maybe share the same interests, but I know I've already done that. You know, that we share, we both like to golf, we both like, you know, like all these things. But they're just the doing part of the relationship, which
I recognize
so many people live
in. Yeah, exactly. Well, and Janet, that's why it's important to find people on a personal growth path. So that's, to me, that is the first place I would look as a single. If I were single, I would look, I would want to go places where I'm going to find people who are on a personal growth.
And where are they?
Growth.
There's the million dollar question.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is that you have to really consciously participate in a lot of personal growth activities. They are not necessarily going to be at the dances. I mean, there will be some, but you want to be attending groups and just activities and workshops and different things like that are personal growth oriented. So as you do that, you will begin to meet people. And they themselves might not be your partner. They might know somebody from one of the things that they go to, that they might be able to introduce you to somebody. I'm going to need to move on. I really appreciate
Absolutely.
Your comments.
Thank you.
They're really, really insightful and added a lot. So I really appreciate that. I want to say one more thing, though, that you brought up. You just alluded to it, and I'm not sure if, I'm pretty sure you're aware of it since you've been going to an Imago therapist, but a lot of people on the call may not be aware of it, and that is the purpose of marriage. And the purpose of marriage is to mature. It's to finish childhood and to mature, and that is a struggle because as adults, we are used to ourselves. I've lived with myself all my life, and I'm just fine, and you're the one, when I got married to you, now I have problems with you. If you would just grow up and just figure life out, then we wouldn't have any problems. And, well, that's true to some extent, but then our partner is thinking the same thing. And so we literally have the blueprint to each other's growth in a marriage and in a committed relationship. And that starts coming out. And those are not the same as your red flags. Those are not the same as your relationship requirements. A couple will always, always, always have conflict, whether they deal with it or not. They may sweep it under the rug, but the conflict will be there, either overtly or covertly, and that's the process of growth showing itself. I believe I've talked about that in, I think it was the Perfect Partner talk that I gave a while back, and so that is in there. And anyway, there's a number of these talks. I think I've covered pretty much all of this stuff in these talks. So if you've not listened to some of the recordings, start browsing those and listening to them. They're usually less than an hour because I will edit them and I'll take out a lot of extraneous things that I say. And it's really worth it. A lot of times they're only, you know, a little more than a half an hour to 45 minutes. Well, let me ask if there's anyone else who has a question or comment or would like to share anything. Just press the number 1 on your keypad. We saw quite a few people. We had a pretty good group this morning. That's great. It's always great to see a lot of people coming to these calls. Try to get this information out there. So does anybody have another question or comment or anything they'd like to share? am not seeing any hands go up. And I just want to thank everybody for attending this morning. And be sure to keep an eye out for our for an email announcing our next call, which is Saturday, February 23rd. Saturday, February 23rd. So it's the last Saturday of the month, which will be, it's really an interesting topic. And I have blogged about it, so you may have already read about it, but we'll be going into more detail. It's called Relationship Sabotageosis 101. And this is where you will learn about the five common bugs that can infect singles and will kill your relationship and how to avoid them. So watch for my email that contains the link to the recording of today's call. And to the, it'll also contain the link to the 45-minute Dream Partner Strategy session. And remember, your dream partner is waiting for you. Okay, bye-bye.